The Cartwright Downtown Farmers Market season has officially kicked off, and they're now open every Wednesday from 4 to 7 p.m. and Saturdays from 9 a.m. till 12 o'clock noon. They'll be going until the end of October, as the final market is scheduled on Halloween, Saturday, October 31st.
We are on the intersection of 2nd Avenue and East State Street. We're next to Big 8 Tire and a block away from the Tallcorn Towers.
That's Tricia Wilder, Cartwright Farmers Market Manager, who says they had to pause on accepting any more vendors as they have filled up quickly this year. She goes through some of the produce that's been available recently.
Rhubarb has come in really well this year, so we have several vendors that are offering it. We also have a lot of asparagus and some greenhouse tomatoes.
This Saturday, there is a craft fair going along with the Cartwright Farmers Market in that open grassy field right next to the market.
The craft fair is going to go until 2 p.m., though, so a lot of vendors will be staying until 2 this Saturday. But we're going to see some extra vendors. We have wood art. We have iron art. We'll have the pretzels for the first time this season. And then we also have people who are making, like, natural products for the home.
Wilder says they'll make announcements on their Facebook page, which is called Cartwright Market. Yesterday, Heather Thomas, Marshalltown Public Works Director, gave an update for the Center Street Viaduct project. This project had a contract of about 120 working days.
Progress is continuing. The work inside the vaulted abutment and on those retaining walls, some of that concrete repair, that is largely finished up, and so they have moved on to one of the deck drains.
Thomas then explains what a deck drain is.
Deck drains are not what people think of as those finger joints. But those were kind of a rectangular grate that had sunk just a little bit in two different locations on the bridge. So we're working on the north one right now.
She says the crew is now working directly above the gun club. The steel support structure will be staying in place at this location of the viaduct, but they are doing some concrete work. Currently, there's a hole in the viaduct.
Center Street Viaduct is closed right now. That includes the pedestrian traffic. We just want to try to keep everybody safe as the contractor continues to work in that area.
One final decision on this project is about the railings. On Tuesday next week at the Marshalltown City Council meeting, they'll discuss whether to sandblast and repaint the current railings or add in a chain link fence. Yesterday, the Marshall County supervisors met for their regularly scheduled meeting. One of the topics of discussion was about RAGBRAI, and since the festivities will be centered around the new plaza on the courthouse grounds, the supervisors discussed closing the courthouse to the public on July 22nd. While the supervisors discussed closing the courthouse, Marshall County Auditor-Recorder Nan Benson said she had spoke with the clerk of court.
The district judge is not allowing them to close. I've spoken with Joel Phillips, Sheriff Phillips, and they're going to have something set up here, I think, for the K-9 and for the support at the sheriff's office, just kind of promoting that. But he said that, you know, we can lock the courthouse and have them be down there opening for anybody trying to get in.
The supervisors voted unanimously to close the courthouse to the public. John Hall, Marshalltown Area Chamber of Commerce CEO, says the roads around the courthouse will be closed on July 22nd when RAGBRAI's here. That'll be State Street, Main Street, and Church Street. The Marshalltown Emergency Food Box will be open today and tomorrow, their typical hours, but they'll be closed on Monday for Memorial Day. Their normal hours for the emergency food box on Thursdays is 1:30 to 4:30 in the afternoon. Friday hours are 10:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. The emergency food box is located at 107 North 1st Street in downtown Marshalltown. For more announcements or information, people can head to their Facebook page, which is called Emergency Food Box. The governor has issued a disaster proclamation for 8 counties following several storms this week. The proclamation covers Emmett, Hancock, Palo Alto, Plymouth, Pocahontas, Winnebago, Woodbury, and Worth counties and allows state resources to be used to respond and recover from the severe weather. It activates the Iowa Individual Assistance Grant Program, which can provide grants up to $7,000 for home or car repairs, replacement of personal property or food, and temporary housing expenses. Eligibility is based on income. It also activates the Disaster Case Advocacy Program that provides help to anyone, regardless of income, in creating a disaster recovery plan. A man who was found guilty of murdering his estranged wife and two others on Easter Sunday back in 1980 has died in prison. The Iowa Department of Corrections says 81-year-old Charles Culor of St. Anthony died Saturday at the Iowa State Penitentiary. Culor was found guilty of three counts of first-degree murder in the death of his wife, 31-year-old Linda Culor, along with a brother and sister who were staying with her at her Tama apartment. He began serving his sentence in October of 1980. A study by Iowa State University researchers found an urban-rural divide in the United States when it comes to buying items and having them delivered. Study co-author Micah Marzoff says they looked at more than a decade of shopping data.
Shifts to online shopping haven't been equal across the country. Urban consumers rely much more on delivery, and that gap was actually reinforced and kind of grew during COVID and has stuck around afterwards, at least through the end of our study in 2023.
She says their theory is online ordering and delivering is faster and easier in urban areas.
So we think it's really in very dense urban areas, delivery is much more convenient. So a lot of urban consumers in, again, these dense urban areas don't have access to a personal vehicle, for example, or they're dealing with congestion and traffic to get to stores.
Marzoff says rural customers are also used to making a trip to the store without as many in their area, and it's something that they're used to doing.
It could be more about some of it being about the experience and just the convenience of, okay, I can make one trip and get everything that I need versus waiting on several different packages to show up at different times.
Marzoff is an Iowa State Assistant Professor of Supply Chain Management and says things haven't seemed to change as online companies have pushed to speed up rural deliveries.
We're looking more at the demand side. So even when you do have that infrastructure in place that can perhaps speed up deliveries in rural areas, rural consumers are still slower to adopt. So it really points to brick and mortar stores remaining essential for now in these more rural areas.
Marzoff says the study gave the various retailers something to look at when they're trying to find the best way to focus resources. Fundraising reports for the first 4.5 months of this year show Rob Sand, the only Democrat running for governor, has over $18 million in his campaign account. And on the Republican side, Zach Lane raised more money than Congressman Randy Feenstra. Sand raised over $9.6 million so far this year, a record haul for an Iowa gubernatorial candidate. Sand's campaign says nearly 95% of all donations were less than $100, and two-thirds of the donations came from Iowans. Sand's wife and in-laws donated about $4.5 million. Among the five Republicans running for governor, Zach Lane raised close to $1 million so far this year. About two-thirds of that came from just three donors. Randy Feenstra raised about $250,000 less. Former state agency director Adam Steen raised nearly $500,000. Pastor Brad Sherman raised over $150,000, and State Representative Eddie Andrews raised $15,000. Iowa campaigns must file an update report on campaign fundraising and spending on May 29th, just before the June 2nd primary. Coming up, we're going to check in with the Iowa Environmental Protection Commission as they approve more funding this week for EPA-required tests. It's 1210.
Life changes. Then it changes again. At Eber Jones, we believe that when it comes to your financial goals, you can't predict the unexpected, but you can prepare. Challenges such as job loss, change in health, or loss of a loved one can have a big impact on your family's financial security. Hi, I'm Bruce Weirin, Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Let's work together to help make sure you're ready for life's ups and downs. Call us at 641-753-4163 to get started. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
1210, cloudy skies, a little sprinkle or two out there. We're at 59. More KFJB news.
The Iowa Environmental Protection Commission approved more funding on Wednesday for the EPA-required tests of drinking water for chemicals known as PFAS. Caitlin Lee of the DNR Water Quality Bureau says it started with voluntary sampling while they set up the rules and now have approved permits for regular sampling.
And the sampling can be done no later than April of 2027, and the vast majority of our sampling will be done by January.
The EPA started requiring samples in 2024, and Lee says it took some time to get things running on the state level.
EPA is always great at telling us that implementing a new rule won't take additional staff, but we actually had to hire a retired permit writer to assist us with this project.
Water facilities serving more than 10,000 people have to test four times a year, and those serving under 10,000 have to test twice a year. Last night, bicycling enthusiasts rode silently through Des Moines and five other communities in a solemn event that honors cyclists who have been hurt or killed while riding on public roads in the last year. It was the 22nd annual Ride of Silence in Des Moines, put on by the founder of BikeIowa.com, Scott Sumpter. This is just one event in the hundreds of worldwide events happening in May for National Bike Month. Iowa DOT says there have been 422 crashes involving bikes since last May, and in that same time frame, five riders have been killed. Rides of Silence were also planned in Cedar Falls, Cedar Rapids, Charles City, Mason City, and Sergeant Bluff.